John F. Kennedy Library, President's Office Files, Presidential Recordings Collection, Tape Number 68, Reel 1. 2 minutes, 24 seconds of this tape have been excised for reasons of national security. The four excisions have been indicated. For additional information, please see Recording Log Number 68.
Taken out their bombers. They've permitted sufficient period hypothetical situation, but it might very well happen.
Safeguard against it.
Well, if they were setting in with some haste, low-level anti-plane missiles, then I would think that they had those all set up around the island. They placed us in a very difficult position to begin to shoot down the island.
We have no confirmation of that. I must say, Alan and Scott are highly irresponsible.
This position, ordinary anti-aircraft weapons around these same size would be quite effective into a place. They don't have freedom at them.
Well, it seems to me we ought to be watching all that, in the sense that would really claim. Probably we ought to give it to McCloy rather precisely.
Yeah.
What
do you want to see that instruction?
Yeah.
Are you working off of that?
I think we ought to put it up in such a way that it's not, in essence, a major new plan.
No, but just a reminder.
We've been saying this several times, or I know it's a little more precise. There.
can expect some additional steps to be taken. A number of ministers expressed the fact that the male ministers ought to have guilty consciences on this matter. They're not doing that. But how we can get that translated into action, remains to be seen. I think that the notion that the United States is beginning to consider losing its patience on this matter is something that could give the governments in Europe some basis on which to transfer some additional effort. The NATO organization itself is still to be marked in time pending the EEC-UK negotiations. There are some very important decisions ahead on the organization of NATO on nuclear matters that aren't going to be taken up seriously until after the UK discussions have been completed. I got the impression that despite the difficulties, that there still is an expectation that those negotiations will succeed. A number of questions we have to postpone until that matter is taken care of. On the bilateral talks, which went along at the start of the formal meetings, I think that's the most interesting one was.
Excision 1. 89 seconds excised for reasons of national security.
We did not suggest that we would.
Because that's the ambassadorial group.
Well, they were
see that, well, the exercise would be connected to the ambassadorial group. I think when
you want to get involved, I
think some of what we ought to do is work through the German 8 points to see what we can make out of that, because there are some elements there that show some promise. And consider what we could say on the subject of a final German settlement, what we could say on the subject of a de facto arrangement, and what we could say about a modus vivendi, three alternatives. But I'm quite sure that quite apart from most formal discussions, if we saw any chance of helping the Soviets to move on the basis of the retention of Western forces, much better we could have those people with us.
This would be a way of getting the French back in the picture if they are allowed to go through this exercise.
Is there any indication on that?
As far as the French will be anxious to, and they weren't quite sure they'd get the message.
I do think the atmosphere in Paris has changed appreciably since the deal went there. That is, as a matter of general atmosphere.
Banclair told me that the French, I don't know how high up this went, but he said that the French now did recognize that we were correct in staying in contact with the Soviets. They had been worried that we were going to erode our position, and when we found that had not happened, that they felt there was benefit, particularly over Cuba, that we'd had this contact. Communications were open instead of that.
Now, let's see what we're going
to try. Well, because we're trying to put that later on, we can take it first. Oh,
we have other people
that we better take the ones we have in order. We're going to take Cuba first, I think, and there isn't very much to report, really. We have people for the Congo and another group of people.
Oh, but I mentioned the ending for Cuba.
No, well, we're going to wait for, I think we might put that over. Ambassador Stevenson missed his plane this morning. He may be in a little later.
So we'll take Congo then.
Why don't we go to the Congo? There isn't much on it, but in any event, the President of the was in their court.
They gave the job for the
He indicated it probably was not acceptable, but it was referred to his government. He told us on Friday or Saturday that it was still, that he wanted some more clarifications on detail before he took it to his government. So that's quite a time to go there.
McCloy feels that this is moving towards the unagreed statement.
That's right.
But
an unagreed statement, which we might want to look at if we get time this morning, but there is no sense of greater urgency on this one. Isn't that right, George?
That's right. The ball's really in that court. Drag on. The Abdullah government is growing weaker rather than stronger.
And if we let it drag on without some kind of direct guidance or interference, if the present political measures fail, and there are political economic measures, the attempt of the Belgian government to get the Union Minière to pay its revenues to the central government on the one hand, the possibility of economic sanctions on the other, both of which I may say we have not very much confidence in, despite the fact that Mr. Spock has made quite heroic efforts in this situation. If these fail or drag on, as seems quite likely, then the UN is going to attempt a military exercise which consists of putting military units into Kibushi and Jadotville and occupying the airport at Kolwezi. This will have to be done in the face of a nondescript air force, which the Mashambe forces have gathered about, which is nevertheless capable of interfering considerably with any military movement. And quite frankly, in view of the past history with these things, we don't have very much confidence that this can be done without being prolonged, messy, and rather indeterminate so far as the consequences may be, with very serious dangers of the kind of fighting which results in atrocities and which results in destroying the reputation of the UN around the world, and which will reflect on us as well. So that what we have been led to is to see if there isn't some means by which we could bring this to a fairly rapid conclusion. Any conclusion that might be achieved, it seems to us, would involve being able to persuade Shambe to agree to a detailed set of conditions which would have to be laid down, which would involve an agreement on revenues, on his own troops and on the disposition of them, as well as the size of them, on an allegiance to the central government, and on the recognition of the government in Leopoldville as the government of a federal state. There would similarly have to be very definite concessions from Adula. This would involve propping Adula up on the one hand, but at the same time getting concessions out of him as to his agreement to leave Shambe undisturbed as head of a provincial government in Elizabethville, to water down his constitutional requirements to some set of principles which would envisage a certain amount of semi-autonomy among the provinces, to accept the division of revenues which we worked out, and so on. Now, the only way by which, in our judgment, we could bring about the kind of pressure which would induce the concessions on each side would be by injecting the element of United States force rather than merely United Nations force in the dependent on the small state. The assumption being that Shambe no longer has any fear of the United Nations forces. He's had enough experience with them as they're constituted with bits and pieces of units from the Ethiopians, the Swedes, the Indonesians, and so on. They're nothing more than a paper tiger to him. On the other hand, there's clearness that he is concerned about the possibility of being confronted with the United States force. Similarly, in Leopoldville, the United Nations is also has a somewhat diminished reputation based on past experience. And if the Adula government is to be propped up, then an operation would have to be undertaken in which the United States force would be the instrument for giving a new burst of confidence in Leopoldville that this thing can actually be concluded. What we had thought about was to inject a United States air unit into Kamina in order to neutralize the air force of Shambe, and at the same time démarche to Adula, to Shambe, and so on, which would achieve the concessions that we're looking for. We encountered initially some problems with Bhutan, who felt that this might well be illegal under the terms of the resolutions, which had not contemplated more, as he interpreted them, than the utilization of forces from non-member states of the Security Council. However, there was another conversation yesterday by Ambassador Stevenson and Harold Freeman with Bhutan, which resulted in a formula being suggested by Bhutan, which might be a viable one if we decided to go ahead. That formula would contemplate a request by Adula to the UN and to certain states for help in supporting the UN plan.
the UN, and under this we would, with the approval of the UN, then send our forces, an air unit in. This has obviously great advantages and great disadvantages, but in our opinion, it is the only way that we can see that this can be brought to a quick conclusion. A long, drawn-out, rather agonizing a prolongation of this would seem to us to be the worst of both possible worlds, and disengagement is something that has very, very serious implications as far as letting the Soviet Union into the heart of Africa. So that this is the problem which we're facing this morning. There's some papers which have been distributed which set this forth, but I think we need guidance as to what course we should take from now on.
Into their hands and start military action with
limited objectives from Jonathan and Kowesi, but which is going to result in very messy operations.
Tell me a little about the operations of Jonathan and Kowesi. What is that? And that's to put them across the rail lines?
These are the principal mining establishments where most of the Europeans are, where the copper is produced. Their objective is to capture these so that they then can control the economy of the Katanga. That means that copper can't be exported.
How far a trip is it? How long a military trip is it?
At most about 80 miles.
80 miles down the road?
They've blown the bridges, so they need to have Bailey bridging to repair the bridges. They also go around by a very circuitous route.
You might want to read them. This word from you, Tom, let's know exactly what their plans are.
Yes. This is respect to going to Kipushi. He'd move 800 to 1,000 troops to Kipushi. That's 20 miles from Kipushi.
800 to 1,000?
Yes. Yeah. That's 20 miles from Liverpool. I was there when I was in this last trip. It's up against the Rhodesian border. It's the sort of terrain that very easily lent itself to roadblocks and harassing actions. Very difficult for groups to fly themselves once they get there. There's no airport there. Then he says that he'll move 800 to 1,000 troops to Jadotville, both being accomplished in January. The UN have repeatedly told us that they're not going to take military action, and that they would consult us before they do. And yet they're not being candid with us because they talk with us on the other hand of these proposed actions. And these are actions which are by no means within their capability. I talked with the Indian generals out there when I was out there. And the Katangans have 18,000 men in their armed forces. And against a resistant guerrilla attack, attacking by roadblocks, and when you get down to Jadotville and Kowesi, no means of support. This is a very difficult operation and could involve large loss of life and destruction of plant. Now, we're desperately trying to inject some new element in the situation that will restrain the UN from doing this, because under present circumstances, we're convinced they're going to do it. The only element that we've been able to see is such a massive involvement of U.S. military might that it would make it absolutely self-evident to Chambly that he couldn't successfully continue this. We're going to put this squadron in there and it's going to stay there until the secession is ended. Of course, it neutralizes the Air Force immediately. They couldn't go up in the air against this force. And I think the psychological value of this force, flying in formation over Lizardville, being ready to attack any retaliation that Chambly and his people might make against Europeans or against installations. I agree that they may not be very effective militarily. I think this is your point, General Taylor, in assisting the UN to go to Jadotville and Kolwezi by means of ground support.
Well, I would just say this. You have an impossible situation of the U.S. waging a U.S. war in support of a U.N. war over which we cannot control the objectives.
So we would be able to control whether or not we let our force be used pursuant to their objectives.
Our leverage increases enormously, doesn't it, Max, if we are charging the Air Force?
We withhold their use in support of the U.N. objective. That's going to damn the
army. Well, the U.N. won't move. U.N. won't move them.
Of course, no question that the greatest value of this is its psychological value to Dula, its deterrent value to Chambly. But I don't think that Chambly would attempt retaliation or military action if this force were there. And this is a symbol that we're going to stay there until it's all over. This is what we've been seeking. We tell Chambly that we're determined that we're going to see this thing through, but we've never taken any step which demonstrated this to him. And this would be a tangible way of demonstrating. But I'm afraid our present tactic is not working. This is self-evident. I'm afraid the alternative is this unwise military action on the part of the UN, which is going to recreate the situation last December in a much more dramatic way, a much worse way, and in UN addition, because you can't say that the UN is attacked. In this case, the UN will be taking a positive step to force its way to Jadotville and Kolwezi. I think this is the best way to avoid it.
How many transport aircraft do we have in there now?
There are 8, I believe. That right? They're engaging in a massive airlift now to build up the UN position in Lisbonville. They're transporting trucks from Stanleyville and other troops from other parts of the Congo to Lisbonville. But of course, this doesn't have the deterrent value that a fighter force would have, or the psychological value to a Dula.
It seems to me that even with the force here, you could maybe even do he's been threatened with up to this point, with quite good reason. Part of the reason he has it is because everything we've said has been rather undercut by a different channel of communication he's been getting from the United States. But apart from that, we really haven't been able to follow through on a number of the things which have been discussed because of the reluctance of our allies, because of the difficulty position in which the Belgians are in, because of the complicated problems of trying to impose economic embargoes, which we can't do under our own legislation without a treaty with the enemy action location. It's very complicated. So he doesn't believe these things. And there's no real way that we can establish the credibility of the fact that we really mean what we're saying unless there's some visible, tangible evidence of American power. This is the analysis. Now, I think General Taylor's made an excellent case on the other side, and I don't think there is any good answer to this problem, but we've simply put this forward as the best of a number of bad answers.
How are you going to get out once you've gotten in?
Well, there's an element of the gamble in this. The gamble being that we would, by this rather abrupt and dramatic change in the situation, the injection of U.S. power in a tangible form, be able to force a quick conclusion. Now, there's always a danger that this doesn't work. Then we have come in as a result of a request by Adula. We haven't forced our way in. At least this would be the posture that we would try to put upon it. So that it is the commitment of American power at American instance to bring this about.
His Air Force would have been destroyed. This we can easily do. We can have an eternal Air Force and we can destroy it with a neat operation on the ground. So there wouldn't be any military reason for us to continue to keep our force there. I think General Taylor is absolutely right. Admiral Anderson told us this the last time we met. There's no military reason for this operation. This operation is purely psychological and deterrent. It's to inject a new element here that's going to prevent something worse happening.
Well, if the UN has up to 18 planes, it's expected to have 18 planes around the country. And the purpose of our force is political. Is there any way in which we can get the political effect out of it without putting the force actually there? For example, we have a letter from Adula asking if we would give the UN and Adula this kind of help. And we said, yes, if necessary to protect our planes or to support the UN planes, we would do that, and see what happened there. I mean, you do make an all-out commitment when you put American military personnel with any kind of a combat mission into the heart of Africa. Are these fellows to be where Kamina? Are they Kamina?
You live to a lot.
And if they got into trouble from anybody, we would have to, if the president couldn't just, you know, leave them there, and couldn't he pull them out easily if you have two ground companies there for their local defense, we'd have to put in whatever was required to enable them to defend themselves. Well, I wonder whether stage one would not be to try to get the military, to try to get the political effect of the move before the move itself would even be undertaken.
Now, the counter argument to that is, of course, that the political effect is precisely that you want.
How about these other air forces? Is that in the past they've not been effective.
Excision 2. 11 seconds excised for reasons of national security.
Chambé sees that this isn't really a military force. And it really is the position of the United States in a way.
The Ethiopians
similar.
The Ethiopians
are very reluctant to fly the Italian planes for reasons derived from their past history with the Italians. The Italians won't put in pilots because their pilots were slaughtered by the Congolese. So they're at an impasse. And
how were their pilots captured, the Italian pilots?
They were I think they worked on the ground. The ANC was captured them. There was a group under General Lindola, but who were beyond his control. And
the pilot was killed.
Yes,
who would be protecting our pilots?
We have to put our own force there.
We'd have to cut the military.
We put about 600, that's what the chief estimated, 600 ground forces, two reinforced rifle companies.
Now, Mr. President, Stark would be willing to add considerable numbers of Belgian officers to the ANC forces. Perhaps he would take the next step and add Belgian pilots for aircraft.
We queried them on that. The best price we could get out of Russell, they wouldn't do this.
Well, that's ASR.
Yes. I did a judge about it a week ago. That was our first thought.
But this is
the
easiest problem this week, is this trying to get some dangerous flash.
It would be great if I had you in a joint, though, in the U.S., of course.
I think we proceeded on this without Slark's help. We could be in great trouble because he's got 15,000 to 20,000 Belgians in the Congo who won't get shut up on this.
But the preservation is a very important point here. See, Slark is very weak now. The Catholic Party could cause his fall. And MacArthur's appraisal is that if there's any hostilities at all in the Congo, that he'll fall. Now, this could be presented as a means of protecting the Belgians in the Katanga, that this force is down there for their protection. If Spark and Belgian public opinion see it this way, it's one thing. If Belgian public opinion would see this as something that might start hostilities, as we quite know that. So we're so deeply involved with Spark here, he's taken this last initiative at our request. And of course, we need him in other matters. We've got to find out how he and Belgian public opinion will go on this move. That's the first thing.
Have we been in touch since we talked last week with him?
No.
We haven't wanted to have any consultations, so we had a policy of our own.
Mr. President, if I might add a word, I think that one of the most important things about using the United States air squadron is that the political impact on Boshambe and Adula will be great. Now, the second thing is that this is the only one of the alternatives that we have that we can really control and predict all the way. The military people say that if we have these other air groups, to put them together, we don't know whether we have them in 2 weeks or a month or 6 weeks. And I think the third point is that time is very important. I think time is running out on us here. And if we can't mount this in, say, a week, I think we're going to be losing valuable time and getting into a point where we can hardly extricate ourselves. And so I think it's the impact politically, the fact that we can control every move of the way, and third, that we can get it done when we want it done.
Excision 3. 34 seconds excised for reasons of national security.
Well suited as any in Africa, I would suppose, for the infection of the rest of the continent.
that occurs, then we would probably have to go in, or we would be faced with a very hard decision. But the conditions then would be appallingly bad, because we would go in against the possibility of a direct confrontation with the Soviet Union, which it seems to us we have a very good chance of avoiding here.
We appear very weak here, Mr. President. They've now written asking for sanctions. Well, we're not going to do anything. And nobody's going to do anything. And we give a very weak appearance to the world. I think it hurts us that we associate with this effort. We're not making any effort to end it. We're letting the UN get into this debacle. I think we need to do something to show that we are...
About the UN getting out of there, the ground can't really succeed. It isn't militarily strong enough. And put in 12 planes, and he doesn't use his air force. And there's all this trouble. And the fighting starts, and the fighting starts for the Belgians for the government's on the throne, and the Indians. In fact, India just let the UN withdraw from there. Then you have a Dula and sort of a chaotic situation. And you have Chambe, and we just try to assist the Dula.
Well, I would think almost certainly that if that occurred, we wouldn't have a Dula. In fact, we would have a successor government for a Dula, which would be very likely to turn to the Soviet Union, because we've had rumors of this. And there's a general, I think quite clear feeling in Leopoldville. In fact, the Dula has expressed himself on it as well, that if there was a pulling out, that a Dula would quit, and that then we would see a left-wing takeover and the Soviet move.
We always thought that an alternative is let the UN pull out and us pull in and the Belgians to take their place. But this involves much greater responsibilities than this air squadron we talked about.
Yes, but I just don't think this one doesn't sound to me as a much success tied into this one.
It turns, Mr. President, on whether you really think this is a fighting issue or a who's got the will issue, and that's why this is an interesting telegram. There hasn't been much war in the Congo at any stage.
Who's this from?
That's the army attaché in Leopoldville. At the end, he gives his personal views, and that's relevant.
ANC is
a
national
army, Leopoldville, I
think. What is your judgment, Ambassador?
Well, I think, I apologize for being late, Mr. President. Either had a defective alarm bug or a too effective second alarm. I think that, if you recall, a year ago at the time Mullen was here, we made a proposal that the time had come when it was imperative for the United States, in cooperation with the British if possible, and the Belgians, to give clear and emphatic evidence of its determination to end this secession in Katanga. Now, we're prepared to do that, as I understand it, at least it's been proposed by put in some American air in the Congo. Youthant is very confident, as is reported to you, I'm sure, that he can end it without American air, with the additional air he's going to get from the Filipinos, from the Swedes, and from the Italians, and with the additional equipment that he's asked for from us. He also feels that with this additional U.S. aid, and the fact that the United States is now committed to the conclusion of this mess down there would have a very deterrent effect on Chambé, and that perhaps it would even end without any fighting. At all events, he's confident that it will be concluded by the end of February or March. I have some doubt about that, at least, and I think that the addition of U.S. air participation on basis, perhaps, that he suggested yesterday, that's probably been reported before I came, would have a very, very decisive effect on Chambé, both as a symbol of our support for a Dula and our determination to see that the plan is carried out, and as a deterrent against the use of the Katanga Air Force. So I've been in favor of taking this additional step. If we can do it consistent with his own misgivings about great power participation, that is to say, on Dula's request to the United States and to the other countries that have participated in the Congo to to help the UN conclude its mission. It's, he's very reluctant to accept this support directly, as you have been informed. And I can understand this in view of the precedents that have taken place and the attitude of the UN Advisory Committee and many of his advisors. I can only conclude then by saying that I think that if the United States would respond to a request from Padula for an air squadron, and if this were made known together with the request to all of the other countries that have participated, and our response as to the materiality, it would have a very powerful impact on Chambé's further resistance. I think it would work. And I don't think anything much short of a present determination to support this operation and see it through and see it through promptly is right.
You don't think what that last part?
I don't think anything short of an evidence of our determination to see this operation through and see it through promptly is going to work.
But we got one squadron isn't enough. It may evidence an American interest, but if Chambé decides to put it to the test, then of course that squadron is going to see it through.
Well, he will have, in addition to that, of course, some 17 other aircraft, jet fighters, Filipino, Swedish, Italian. So that this is a considerable air force in addition to ours, compared to what he's had in the past. I think it would pin down and neutralize the Tonga Air Force pretty quickly, and the very threat that we were going to destroy it on the ground unless they brought them into Kamina and gave up would have a very powerful effect on it. And I don't think anything else is going to, unless we make it very clear the great powers now, that is in the United States, and if possible with the help of Belgium, and with the British at least standing mute, is going to do it. Do that and make this emphatically clear to everyone, I think we'll pull the chestnut out of the fire just in time.
Might be able to certainly neutralize the Air Force, but as I understand, there should be a substantial judgment, even if you didn't have any Air Force on either side, the UN and the ANC is not powerful enough to bring about any quick solution in the tank.
Well, judgment that I can't dispute, because that certainly has been the experience in the past, but also in the past we've never had the evidence determination to follow through that we have now. We have 4,500 Indonesians, some of them already have landed in Dar es Salaam. together with the assurance that the Indians will stay until the end of March, seem to me to give us enough force on the ground to occupy Galwayze and Jadisville and Kipushi if he has to. I'm not sure that he's even going to have to occupy them all. I agree that the Air Force in itself may not be enough, but once the Katanga Air Force is neutralized and eliminated as a constant annoyance and threat, and if we have some bridging equipment to open the road and keep it open, then I think it would have a very, very considerable effect.
President, I just...
I certainly, but in the last analysis, there's no alternative. Either we do give evidence that we're determined to see it through, or we're going to continue in this disorder.
President, I think I would say that my comments are directed at two points. One is that we ought to try to get the deterrent effect of this squadron before it gets there, if possible. And secondly, I don't think your advisors ought to leave you the impression that there's anything necessarily limited about putting American ground forces and air squadrons in Kamina. Because if they get in trouble, you've got to back them up on whatever's required. That's true. About a year and a half ago, we were considering very seriously putting in substantial military forces in Congo. But I would think if we put the squadron in there and rifle companies, that we would want something comparable to, at least as large as the Solan Amity Task Force, back in the area where these people could be reinforced immediately if they got into trouble. I would say first we ought to try to get the deterrent effect before their arrival, if possible. And secondly, to bear in mind that this is not a limited commitment because it's the United States. The United States uniforms are going to be involved in the situation.
So we should rein President, non-Congolese forces have been exposed to this risk for a very long time. Indians, Indonesians, Ethiopians, and others.
But it's one thing for the Irish to get shot up, and it's another thing for Americans to get shot up and nothing further happen. I'm sure there's a big difference here.
There's also going to be a different attitude in Northern Rhodesia after the 2nd of January when Gounda will come in.
And what will be the effect of that on Katanga?
Well, he will not, he will be opposed to Chankaran, either equivocal or support. The political effect of that is hard to measure, and I don't know that has any immediate consequence. Count on cooperation for the first time.
No, I think who you mean the Canada to do that?
The central government to do it.
What does this mean? They have yet to meet
prepared to commit this question.
They have yet to meet Belgian military or civilian with long Congo experience who foresees potentiality of fighting between two Congolese forces. They claim they do not fight each other after Angola Square dance on climate would occur. Better to have a relatively bloodless ANC CAT war, KAT war, than a costly UN UMHK showdown. The UN, UMHK, is what?
The Union Minière. The UN blowing, shooting up the plane for the Union Minière.
I don't see quite what he wants to do.
He'd probably like this withdrawal, just let them fight it out over a period of years. A period that they wouldn't actually, that they would just sort of spar at each other, wouldn't actually.
See, that's our alternative, really, isn't it? Getting the UN out of there.
If you could draw a line around the Congo, President, I guarantee you that all the Congolese would fight it out. This would be very tempting, but this won't happen. The Soviets will come in, the Egyptians will come in, the Ghanaians will be drawn in, all sorts of things.
We had chaos all over Africa, and all these countries are all like this anyway.
But you don't have the outsiders playing.
Just because I don't think that's true either. I came back with the sex of Congo, and there's an extraordinary amount of stability there. I think we greatly overestimate the chaos that is in Africa. I don't think there have been more than 5,000 or 8,000 people killed outside of Algeria in the whole struggle for African independence. I think far from being chaotic and completely at odds, it's one of the most ordinary places in the world outside of the Congo. I think our stereotype on Africa is all wrong. I don't minimize the problem in the Congo, ever. But generally around the continent, things are in pretty good shape. We're in very good shape.
See, with the mercenary Chambé's force is vastly superior to the ANC. So the ANC would have to build up its force. They'd be willing to get Bloc help to do this if there was no other source of help, which is just an inevitable attraction for the Bloc. They came in very quickly with 17 aircraft and hundreds of technicians last August, September. No reason why they couldn't do it again.
I cut them off.
The new government came in and asked the men to come in and them to get out, and they left. This is in 60. 60.
60.
There you go. That's
Mr. President, I think, too, the idea that we can disengage is pretty much of an illusion, because if we don't carry through on this, the UN's reputation is going to be eroded seriously, and the United States will be considered by Africans as a paper titan.
But I think we always have to be proving ourselves. What about the British aren't doing? Nobody thinks the French are paper tigers, and they're not doing anything. They got to just get out of Algeria.
But we're the ones, sir, that have been committed here. The Africans more and more consider this as the United States commitment, not the UN commitment. And if we withdraw here, I am sure that our prestige will plummet. We made statements, you yourself, sir, with Mr. Spock made a statement just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, well, now, what about Mr. Spock, what about his statements? Other steps, as I recall at the time, with Mr. Spock, we were talking about economic steps.
That's correct, sir.
So what about the economic steps that we're supposed to take?
But he's taken his move. The outcome was not yet clear. The representatives will talk to him today. Chambé's attached condition. It's not clear that it's going to work out.
I would say, Mr. President, it's like practically every other country in the Congo. It's
rapidly sinking into the African ooze.
Yeah, well, I think that's... I'd say we put this force in, and if we put the force in, which is supposed to, once again, be evidence of our interest, nothing particularly happens, then the design center, the UN, going to start fighting in January?
This is what they tell Master Stevens.
In other words, if we're putting this force in, we're doing it with the recognition that that we'll be fighting in January and that we're there to give air cover to that fighting. Is that correct?
No, we haven't agreed to this fighting, and of course, this force gives us more control over their actions, potentially, than if we had no force there.
I think it's very possible there'll be no fighting for Burma.
If we put the force. If we don't put the force, I'm convinced there will be fighting, because the UN are planning.
I think what we're trying to send this message is that the only chance to avoid force is to beef up the doula so effectively now that Sean will be able to conclude that the commitment of all the parties involved, especially the United States, is makes his further resistance useless.
But there is the other side of it, as I understand it, that in making this commitment, we also get leverage to prevent Abdullah from making unmanageable conditions, and really leverage to get him to accept a de facto situation which is less than complete integration. We have to do that.
What is, as I understood, the suggestion was that Matt would request this assistance to a number of powers.
Abdullah,
he asked the Soviet Union?
No, he'll ask only those powers which have assisted in the Congo. That would be the United States. We've assisted in so many ways.
He'd ask us for, say, a fighter squadron, would he?
He would ask us for, he would ask a number of powers, the United States, the Tunisians, the Ethiopians, the Indonesians, the Nigerians, the Swedes, the Irish, and so on, to help him conclude this matter quickly. He would ask in his letter, in his statement, especially for air support. We have to work out the language of the form of letter that Abdullah would, the statement right. that Abdullah would make as far as our response is concerned.
Would he ask the Belgians?
Yes, he would. Yeah.
And what about the British?
I don't think the British have ever participated in any way.
Would we, as one of the conditions under which we'd go in, would we ask him for a veto, in a sense, over UN use of UN troops and Congo in Katanga?
I don't think we've talked about that. We haven't talked about that, but we have talked about the conditions and the characteristics of our relationship with the United Nations as far as our own Air Force.
We haven't attempted to. What will he use as his reason for needing additional forces?
To conclude this session, to end the matter as quickly as possible.
Will there be a suggestion that there's going to be a military action to end it, or will it be to make it, to implement an economic proposal? Is that the way he's sort of worded?
The reconciliation plan that provided, as I recall, if the embargo on the economic measures didn't succeed, Secretary General would take further measures. This would be a further measure.
Well, it spelled out stopping railway trains, which requires force. We have a veto power if we choose to exercise it because they can't operate there without our airmen. But what they anticipate, I'm sure, is creating this situation and then forcing us to continue the airmen.
I don't think we ought to have some, if we really are against the use of their military force on the ground that's going to be aborted in January, and that's our best military judgment. I think we ought to send some other military people out there to give us a better line of whatever we may do with this other matter, but we ought to get the best judgments we can. Certainly ought to try to get as much of a grip on their actions as possible. It would be better, really, to have the UN pull out than it would be to have a military action begin with a rather inconclusive kind that we had a year ago, December this month, in which they would be defeated or set back and bloodied up and then have to withdraw. That'd be the worst solution. So I suppose we ought to try to. Of course, they always want to fight out there because they've been there and they all hate the Katanga. And of course, they think they can probably lick them so that we get into one of those situations where we'll be involved without success. rather him out and then try to support Abdullah ourselves in place of the bloc or his successor and just play that game. After all, we do that with a lot of other powers.
Mr. President, I think that your advisors owe you a question. We're going to work on this further on this particular point very quickly. So further, we are advising that you make a U.S. military commitment to the integration of the Congo. Do you to effect this integration by military means if necessary, including men in uniform? And if the answer to that question is no, then what are the limits of the mission of any military men that we put in there? I'm not sure we're entirely clear on that in the paper. Because if we're clear, if Chambi collapses and says, okay, that's easy, but we haven't, I think, said to you, is what else is going to be in the next recommendation if he says no?
Well, we won't have any Western European country with us in this matter. Will we? Because Spock will collapse, as I understand it, really mean and unsuccessful, which it may. So we'll be pretty much... That's not necessarily the worst situation. The worst situation is a lack of success. But I'm not sure that the squadron gives us the prospect of success, particularly with guerrilla warfare and all the rest.
Excision 4. 10 seconds excised for reasons of national security.
Well, the problem here has been the inhibition of the UN as well, is that right?
Yes.
It has been national.
And also, I think it's very nice that the recommendation is based upon the importance of the U.S. doing this under its own flag.
How strong is the African countries on Congo and the integration? Is this a major burning issue?
Yes, they feel very strongly about it, but there's been a lot of silly shouting, a lot of waste of time that ought to be resolved. They have, as you know, many of them put in forces of their own. The Nigerians are there now. I guess some others, I'm not sure. But the Congo Advisory Committee that he has to deal with all the time is always pressing for a prompt conclusion of the matter. But they don't have very much to offer except for ground forces. This additional air pinned down the Tonga Air Force that seems to be one of the